Good evening, Jake. Thank you very much for bringing me in, for all the help and for the entire share on behalf of all of us, for all of you do, to Maribit Pura Klal Yisrael. You have tremendous, tremendous merit. May Hashem bless you, protect you, and bring you all the blessings. Tonight we're going to learn L'Zeichu L'Ilu Nishmas Ma'anish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. We thank our sponsor for his generosity in dedicating this year in his memory. Tonight is a very special night, as you all know. Tonight is Purim Klatan. Tonight, right now, is the 14th day of Adar Rishon, the first Adar. This year we are in a very unique year. We have a double Adar. There are two Adars in order to make sure that we celebrate Pesach in spring. Every so often we have to pad the year with an additional month in order that the lunar cycle and the solar year are in sync, or at least close as possible. And this year we have such a year where we have a 13-month year, and we have an additional Adar. And this poses many halachic challenges. What is one to do about birthday, yahrzeit? What is one to do about Purim? So it's interesting, each one of these three that we've mentioned, there are possibly more, have unique halachas, unique laws. For example, 13 years ago, it was a year that had only one Adar. And that means this year, those boys that were born in Adar, when is their bar mitzvah? When do they celebrate their bar mitzvah? Do they celebrate their bar mitzvah in the first Adar or in the second Adar? The halacha is the second Adar. That means there are no bar mitzvahs this year in Adar Isha. It's an amazing phenomenon. In the entire Klal Yisrael, there is no one that is celebrating a bar mitzvah in this time, in this Chodesh. Because 13 years ago, there was only one Adar. And the law is a bar mitzvah is celebrated in Adar Sheni, when the 13th year occurs in the leap year. What about with regard to a yahrzeit? A person commemorating a yahrzeit, a person died in a year when there's only one Adar, and now this year we have a double Adar. When should one commemorate the yahrzeit? Not so simple. Generally, if I'm not mistaken, most people observe the first yahrzeit. I mean, it really shouldn't say those words. Very common for many people to recite Kaddish in both the first and the second, and if they can, to daven for the Amud. But the primary yahrzeit, primary focus, usually most communities, is the first Adar. And obviously, each the question is, what's the difference? Why is it when it comes to a birthday, is it the second yahrzeit, the first? That's an interesting topic of its to itself, and maybe some other time. What about Purim? When do we commemorate Purim? So this is Shulchan Aruch, this is the halacha. I think it's even in the Gemara, in the Talmud. Purim is commemorated in the second Adar. Why? So the simple reason given, I think the Gemara says the reason, is because we want to connect the miracle of Adar to the miracle of Pesach. We don't want there to be a gap between the two. We want these two festivals, the rabbinic festival of Purim, to be as close as possible to the biblical festival of Pesach. Both of them have similarities, and they have very big differences. But the similarity that they both represent redemption. They represent salvation. Pesach, we left Egypt. We began our journey to go into Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash. Likewise, the Bayis Sheni. Likewise, the time of Purim was in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. It was right in the middle, towards the end, in fact, and we merited salvation, which allowed us to go forward and rebuild, return to Eretz Yisrael, and rebuild the Bayis Sheni. So Chazal very much wanted that we should connect these two holidays to each other as close as possible. Therefore, they decided that Adar, that the festival of Purim, should be celebrated in Adar Sheni. This year, because the leap year, the way the parashas are arranged, it's unique. And I want to look into the parasha to perhaps get a bit of a flavor of, in a homiletic way, homiletic approach, to understand why Adar Sheni is the festival of Purim, and what that means for Adar Rishon, for tonight, we're not laying the Megillah. Think about it. If this was a regular year, tonight, at this moment, we would be coming home from the Megillah reading, getting ready to send the Mishloach Manos. We would be in a festive mood, the mood of Purim. But yet tonight, it's quiet. We're not in the Purim mood. How do we relate to this? In this parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, I'm going to Shemayim to receive the Luchas. I'm going to Sharon to receive the Luchas and wait for me 40 days. And there was some misunderstanding as to how long to calculate, how to calculate the 40 days. Should the calculation begin on day 16? Should the calculation begin on day 7? Should the calculation begin on the 7th day of Sivan? Or should the calculation begin on the 8th day of Sivan? And the consequence would be when they would expect Moshe to return. Would they expect him to return on day 16 of Tammuz? Or would they expect him to return on the 17th day of Tammuz? We all know the story. They miscalculated by one day, and they expected Moshe to return on day 16 of Tammuz. Moshe did not return until day 17 of Tammuz. Shavasa b'Tammuz, Moshe comes down, and he sees the Jews are celebrating. They made an egel, a golden calf, to replace him, and he shatters the luchos, and the ramifications are cosmic. What was the problem? It says in the pasuk that the people of Moshe in the eyes of the people delayed. The people were impatient. They had an expectation that Moshe, their leader, would swiftly return, would appear, perhaps even early. He told the Jewish people he's going for 40 days. He tells somebody going away. It's not so bad if they come home early. We all know we come to shul. It's not so bad to come a little early. I recently went to a funeral. Maybe some people know this person, Rabbi Dr. Mitchell Orlian, Zichron Levracha from Yeshiva University. He was my neighbor. I knew him, Baruch Hashem, very well, and his son, Badul Chaim Tayyar Maruchim, Uri Orlian, he said at his funeral that his father had a motto. His motto was, better 10 minutes early than 1 second late. So what would have been so bad if Moshe Rabbeinu would have come home a little early, 2 minutes early, come home a day early, 2 days early? Moshe came home exactly on time, and in fact, the people, in their miscalculation, he came late, and they were impetuous, they were impatient, they were rowdy, and unfortunately, it was a very grave sin, the making of the egel. Purim, the yontif of Purim, if we think about it, it's a yontif of patience. It's not a yontif of open miracles, of miracles l'mala miderech hateva, where there are 10 makos, and there's kriyas yamsos, and there is an open revelation of Hashem's presence. Far from it. Purim is where Hashem, He arranges things to happen very, with incredible precision. And at the time when the events unfold, it's impossible for us to appreciate what's happening. When Hashem brings about miracles within concealment, within a framework of the Anochi Haster Aster Panai, within a backdrop of hiddenness, it's on Hashem's timetable, which for us can be very long, and we can get very impatient until all of the pieces fall into place to create the perfect situation for Hashem's honor to be revealed. That's just nature. Nature is slow. In nature, nothing happens overnight. A tree doesn't grow to its maturity overnight. It takes years. Children don't just grow up overnight. It takes time. An infant is an infant, comes a toddler, gets a little bit older, adolescent, teenager. Although life goes by very quickly and things happen very fast, but everything happens at its natural speed. And certainly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about events and miracles, Hashem, we have to be very patient. It's interesting that the story of Purim itself is constructed against the backdrop of people who have no patience. Achashverosh thought that the 70 years of the prophecy of Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, after 70, L'mloit Shivim Shana, 70 years, the 70 years have come and gone. And he took out all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and he put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, celebrating, look, the 70 years have passed. Yirmiyah HaNavi said that after 70 years, you will return. You will return back to Yerushalayim, you will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and here 70 years have passed and nothing has happened. Achashverosh made a mistake. He was impatient. He didn't make the correct calculation to understand that the 70 years is not referring from the time when of the Golus of Yehoyachin, but it's referring to the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why couldn't he understand that? Why couldn't he just look at the story of the Jewish exile a little differently? That the calculation should be made from the Churban, not from the Golus of Yehoyachin. It's because he didn't have patience. And likewise, this was only one, they had a predecessor that made the same mistake. Belshazzar, the grandson of the Nebuchadnezzar, He made the same mistake. He also made the calculation of 70 years. He probably referred to the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to prominence, to world power. That was also a mistake. Why did he make that mistake? He lacked patience. And all these events accumulated to create the story, the backdrop of the Megillah. And we saw Hashem reveal himself by putting events, bringing out events just in the right time. Mordechai, he tells Esther that there's a plot to assassinate Ahasuerus. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Years go by until one night the king is sleeping and they happen to bring him boring records, Divrei Hayamim, to put him to sleep. And there, an event that Mordechai, an act of kindness that Mordechai had done years ago, it just happened to be read in front of the Melech. Patient. Person does something, you don't know what you're doing. You're planting a seed. And in Hashem's time scale, events will mature and blossom in their right and intended time. We have here 2 months. Each one is called Adar. In truth, they're both equally valid. The proof is, look, when it comes to a yard site, a person observes it in the first Adar. There are other things. And we can really ask the question, if each Adar is valid in its own right, the reason not din in the mitzvahs, we should observe the festival of Purim in the first Adar. Why wait? Why should we delay? If Adar Rishon is really in truth valid, is truly Adar, so let's take advantage and do the mitzvahs as soon as we possibly can, do the mitzvahs and shlach mangas. Why delay? And the answer is that's exactly the point of what Purim is all about. Purim is not about grabbing. It's not about being impatient. It's true. We have to be patient. It's true, I'm sorry, that we have to take advantage. But everything in life has to be balanced. And there's a time to be patient. The essence of Purim is a festival of patience. To see the Yad Hashem revealed in the laws of nature. And in these laws of nature, it's a different time scale. It's Hashem's time scale. We're only here for a short period of time. We don't get to see the big picture. Patience. If there are 2 opportunities, Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, to delay, to wait until Adar Sheni, in essence, captures what the holiday is about. There's another Adar. Let's take advantage and be patient and wait for the miracle to be revealed in its full glory. And in fact, it's much deeper than that. This year, the fact that we have a double Adar today, by not celebrating the festival, this itself is the ultimate celebration of what Purim represents. Today, here we are. We have an opportunity. It's Adar. Let's grab. Let's hop. Let's immediately seize the moment. No. Restraint. Take a deep breath. Recognize there's another Adar. Things are developing. They're maturing. Let's wait for the right time. Let's take today, restrain ourselves from celebrating in order to acknowledge that the essence of the holiday is patience. Wait. Wait for the right moment. By us not celebrating Purim today, in essence, we are celebrating what Purim really is all about. To wait for Hashem to reveal himself in the right time. This lesson is presented to us front and center in this week's parsha. The Jewish people made a big mistake in fashioning the ego, worshiping the ego, because they didn't want to wait. Moshe was late. Impatience, impetuousness. We have to find a replacement. We can't even wait 1 second. Wait! What's the rush? Wait, give Moshe the benefit of the doubt. He told you 40 days. Maybe when he meant 40 days, there's another way to look at the 40 days. Calm down. It's a painful message to learn, to read about in this week's parsha. And it's staring at us in the face today. Today is Purim Katan. Today we should be celebrating the festival. But when you look at the Purim story, look at all the people who contributed to the Purim story, to Ahasuerus, who did not want to delay, to Belshazzar, who did not want to delay, to Mordechai, who did act of kindness. This is the introduction to the real story of the Megillah. Achar HaDavar Mo'ela, after Mordechai did an act of kindness, and nothing happened. He prevented the assassination of the king. He wasn't rewarded. He didn't make the front page headlines. No one cared. It was a non-event. Wait. Today, it's Adar Rishon. It's an Adar Sheni. Mochar Yehiyeh Ha'os Hazeh. Chag LaHashem Mochar. Says in this week's parsha, they came to Aaron. You want to make the ego? Chag LaHashem Mochar. Yesh Mochar LaAchar Zman. patience. This is the message by us withholding today from celebrating. In essence, we are fulfilling the true message of Purim. I want to thank you all for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. May the Purim Katan bring you simcha. Simcha, la Yehudim, hois oira, the simcha, the sasan vikar, kain, tihiyelan. Good night, and thank you.